Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 397, the stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day and evermore thy praise proclaim. And what follows? Psalter 397, the first four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 24. And afterward from the Confession of Faith, article number 7. Acts 24. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accepted always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, and notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple whom we took, and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also ascended, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, forasmuch as I know that thou wast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, and neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, and neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and of hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me? Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it before this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called and questioned by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. From the Confession of Faith, article number 7, which you can find on page 7 in the back of your Psalter. The sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures to be the only rule of faith. We believe that those Holy Scriptures fully contain the will of God, and that whatsoever man ought to believe unto salvation is sufficiently taught therein. For since the whole manner of worship which God requires of us is written in them at large, it is unlawful for anyone, though an apostle, to teach otherwise than we are now taught in the Holy Scriptures. Nay, as though it were an angel from heaven, as the apostle Paul saith, for since it is forbidden to add unto or take away anything from the word of God, it doth thereby evidently appear that the doctrine thereof is most perfect and complete in all respects. Neither do we consider of equal value any writing of men, however holy these men may have been, with those divine scriptures, nor ought we to consider custom or the great multitude or antiquity or succession of times and persons or councils, degrees or statutes as of equal value with the truth of God, for the truth is above all. For all men are of themselves liars, and more vain than vanity itself. Therefore we reject with all our hearts whatsoever doth not agree with this infallible rule, which the apostles have taught us, saying, try the spirits whether they are of God. Likewise, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Brendan and Henrietta Grisnick, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy, and Mrs. Gerda Vandenbroek, who was admitted to the hospital because of a heart attack and is waiting for an aneurysm. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our most merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast gathered us in this evening within the walls of thy house, and may it please thee to grant impressions of thy faithfulness, of thy goodness, and of thy long-suffering, where in the midst of the trials of life and the difficulties that thou wast spared each of our lives, then also in this day a great multitudes upon the earth have begun the day and are now in eternity, and we may still be in the precious day of grace, then thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. And then in this evening, then we may pause, then we may stand still and be given for a moment to reflect upon thy wonders in the days of old, that by thy almighty power that thou hast delivered the church out of Egyptian bondage and darkness, thou hast brought them to that glorious light of free and sovereign grace, where man is abased to the lowest and God glorified to the highest. And that is a truth so contrary to our flesh. Ah, Lord, then thou wast wrought wonderfully. Then the scriptures that were hidden, they have come forward. They were placed on the pulpit. They were proclaimed and also placed in the family dwellings and in the institutions of learning. And then it was accompanied by the saving work of thy Spirit. Oh, then thou hast converted men, and thou hast given them much light, and they were given to be instruments in thy hand, in the midst of thy church, to deliver the church. Ah, Lord, then so many, they have sacrificed much, they have sacrificed all. They have given their lives that the coming generations may have the truth as it is declared in thy holy word. And then we are still privileged to be children of the Reformation. And then it is necessary, then it is profitable, that we and our children, that we do not forget thy wonders, but that we may know thy wonders, that we may be given to see thy hand therein, and that it may be accompanied with much prayer and the need for a reformation personally, families, church, and country. Ah, Lord, we live in a solemn, in a serious, in an evil time where there is so much backsliding, and that not only in the countries, but also in the churches. Ah, may it please thee to grant a reformation that is so indispensable, and above all a reformation accompanied with that godly sorrow. Ah, that sorrow that we have sinned against such a good and such a just God, and that we learn that we can never satisfy justice by our works, but that is only possible through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, who has merited salvation for his church, and who applies the same to that end. Then in this evening hour, then we commend our country unto thee. In the past few weeks, then elections have been held in three different provinces, and the outcome is known unto thee. And in this coming week, then elections are scheduled for our southern neighbor, a country that had such a rich beginning, a rich Christian heritage, a country which has become strong, a country which thou wast blessed, a country together with other countries that has been used as an instrument in thy hand to set many a country, also Christian countries, at liberty. But, ah, Lord, the country has become proud, independent, forsaken thee, trampling upon thy holy law, desecrating the Sabbath, despising the seventh commandment. And then we may humbly yet beg of thee, if it may be according to thy holy will, that in the coming week, that thou may yet show a little mercy, a little token thereof, that thou givest not everything over to the foolishness of man's heart, so contrary to thy holy word, but that leaders may yet be chosen that have yet learned to bow their knees, and that are given to open thy word, asking for light above, Lord. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. We humbly ask thee in this evening that it may please thee to bless thy word for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We commend unto thee a father and mother whom thou wast blessed by renewal in their married life with a little child. Ah, Lord, grant broken and humble hearts, and may the prayers be multiplied, that it may be a little one for thee. We commend unto thee the grandparents, an added blessing, and an added responsibility. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou gladden in due time by thy deeds. We commend unto thee the sick and afflicted. An old mother was taken to the hospital, doing remarkably well, awaiting for further testing. May it please thee to bless the means, and oh, above all, then in her older years, then thou wert yet speaking unto her in a special way, my daughter, give me thy heart. May this solemn calling be accompanied with the work of thy Spirit. May the calling be sanctified. Remember her together with her husband. And we commend all the sick and afflicted unto thee. Grave concerns. Remember those that are taking treatments. Those that are waiting for results. Many fears and many concerns. May we lay it all before thee. We commend unto thee the handicapped daughter that hopes to commemorate another birthday in the day of tomorrow. Has been a solemn year. Much has taken place. Thou was wonderfully spared, but thou knowest the difficulties, the concerns, Lord. Do spread thy gracious wings over her, and above all do save her never dying souls. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember and bless the family circles. And now we humbly ask thee, Lord, that thou may open thy word, that thou may bless thy word, dwell richly amongst us, cause thy kingdom to come, glorify thy name, pardon us of all of our sins. We ask it in the forgiveness thereof. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 257, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth to God. In daily praises, bless his name, and tell his grace abroad. And what follows in this evening, there is one collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Psalter 257, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Beloved congregation, of 507 years ago, on this evening hour, then Martin Luther was given to nail his 95 theses on the church door of Wittenberg. And then it was not the attention of Martin Luther that those theses would be spread out all over the country, but it was his intention that on the next day, a special church day, when great multitudes would come up to the church, and that those theses would be debated, examined in the light of the Holy Scriptures by the students of the University of Wittenberg. But the Lord's thoughts were different than his thoughts. And when we consider Reformation Day, then we may not end in Martin Luther. That was not his desire, because one of the watchwords of the Reformation were sola deo gloria, unto the Lord be all the honor and the glory. And then it is clear that it was the Lord's time, that it was the Lord's work, and that it was the Lord's power. Were in that time, then the scriptures that was also in the providence of the Lord. In 1454, Constantinople has fallen, and then many intellects, they have fled from that city westward. And so also the ancient manuscripts of the scriptures, they were discovered anew, and they were even studied in the University of Oxford and Cambridge in England. And then the Lord has used the scriptures, then he has raised up different young men. Martin Luther, born in 1583, as Zwingli on New Year's Day in 1984. William Tyndale, boys and girls, you know who that is, was born, believe, 1494. John Calvin, 1509. And then in different places, then this truce of free and sovereign grace, they were spoken about, and they were preached. And when we think of Martin Luther, then it did not begin on October 31st. But the Lord has savingly wrought in the heart of Martin Luther. He has walked so restless over the earth, and he could find no peace. Oh, he has tried. To say it simply, if anyone could be saved by works, it would have been Martin Luther. But then he has learned the scriptures have been opened in the tower. Out of Romans 1 verse 17, the just shall live by faith. And he has learned that he was saved wholly and solely, the work of a triune God, and to that end. Then he has striven for that truth. And then the reformers, they have also given confessions before different councils. And now in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider two confessions. You can find our text words in Acts 24, the verses 14, 15, and 16. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Our text words speak of a God-glorifying confession before the leaders of church and country. And then in this evening, in the first place, to consider the confession of the Apostle Paul, and in the second place, a few words about the confession of Guido de Bree. A God-glorifying confession before the leaders of church and country, the confession of the Apostle Paul, and that under the first point, three subheadings. First, concerning his worship in verse 14. Secondly, concerning his hope in verse 15. And thirdly, concerning his lofty aim in verse 16. The Apostle Paul, boys and girls, you know it, he has went on three missionary journeys, and his labors were richly blessed. In AD 58, he has returned to Jerusalem, and there he was seized. They would have murdered him, but the chief captain, Lysias, with the soldiers, then they have apprehended Paul, and they were ready to take him into the castle and on the stairs. Then he has received permission to speak some words. And then in Acts 23, he was given to speak of the wonderful works of God, where the Lord has arrested him on the way to Damascus as a self-righteous Pharisee. In Acts 23, he was brought before the council of the Jews, and then he was kept. And then there was a conspiracy by over 40 men that they made a vow that they would not eat until they have killed Paul. And that has come to the ears of the nephew of Paul. And that nephew was brought to a centurion. And then Lysias with 470 men with weapons and with horses, they have taken Paul to Caesarea. And there the governor has waited for the Jews to come to that city to bring their accusations. And so we have heard it in this chapter that the Jews have hired a lawyer, Tertullus, which has spoken well of Felix. But then that lawyer, in the name of the Jews, has brought accusations against Paul. Many times when we read the history also of the church, then persecution, it is the beginning when false accusations, even slander, when they are brought against the church. And that eventually, and in our day with the media, then the left side has more opportunity to do so. And then we have heard it, that Paul's serious charges were brought forward. We read of those charges in the verses 5 and 6. The first, the violation of the Roman law. He was a mover of sedition. He was a rebel. In the second place, of violations of the Jewish law, because he was a sectarian, belonged to the Nazarenes, thus he was a heretic. And in the third place, the violations of God's law, because they have said he profaned the temple, committed sacrilege. And now in the verses 10 through 13, then Paul has declared with a clear conscience that those accusations were not true. They have no evidence. And now in our text words in the verses 14 through 16, then Paul has come to a very crucial point concerning his worship, his hope, and his life. And then in the verses 17 through 21, his further defense. And then we read in our text words, but this confess I unto thee. And that was a confession that was based upon experience. Oh, in his former life, then Saul, a self-righteous Pharisee, but he has experienced the precious things of the Lord to be saved by free and sovereign grace. And to that end, Paul was so willing to suffer for the cause of the Lord, all with a burning heart, and that as fellow travelers to eternity, that they would experience the same matters. And so it is in the life of a child of God. The more they may experience, the more they may receive a burning heart and a vehement desire. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. In the time of the Reformation, then concerning the worship of God and how we must be worshipped, then our reformers, it is true, Luther, of course he was a first reformer, delivered the church out of Roman bondage. Then he has made statements, as long as it is not detrimental. But John Calvin has clearly stated that in the worship service, everything that takes place, we need a warrant in the Word of God. I worship the God of my fathers. That was the point of these accusations. It is true. There was much ignorance concerning the way of salvation. And the Jewish people, they have accused the church that they were teaching a new doctrine. But Paul says, no, worship I the God of my fathers. And that was many times the point in the time of the Reformation. Oh, then the reformers, a scriptural knowledge pointing to the Word of God, then they were given to tell the Roman Catholic Church that they were no longer worshiping according as the fathers have done, the New Testament Church, but that many errors and many matters have crept into the church. I worship the God of my fathers. How do we compare, congregation? And therefore it is good for all of us, also for our youth, to read of former days, a close, a tender, a rich life. I have read of Jonathan Edwards between his 19th and 20th year, that over a period of 8 months, and he has written at the top, prayerfully and with God's help for Christ's sake, then he has written down many resolutions which he felt was according to God's word and which he was called to walk after. All things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Not some things, not most things, but all things. How is that in our life? Is it all things, or do we pick and choose? Do we honestly read God's word? What is when we read the Bible? What is now the Lord saying? It is true, we need light, needs to be with prayer, but all things was a crucial point. The time of the Reformation. Then young people, do you know, older ones, do you know the five watchwords of the Reformation? The first one, sola, means boys and girls alone. Sola scriptura, solia gratia, grace alone. Solia fide, faith alone. Sola Christus, Christ alone. And sola Deo gloria, unto the Lord be all the honor. And that was now a crucial point in the time of the Reformation. Then many times the Roman Catholic Church has come forward with their fathers. And of course, when church fathers, when they have spoken and written according to God's word, then we must value those writings. But many of the fathers, they have placed the fathers, we have read together from the confession of faith, scripture alone, that we may not place anything above the scriptures. The creeds are also subordinate to the holy scriptures, all things that are written in the law and the prophets. And when a church departs from those all things, then they depart from the truth. Secondly, concerning his hope. And verse 15, that is connected with 14 with an end. Thus we may not separate. Thus Paul was given to speak of a good hope which the Lord has wrought in his heart, a hope based upon the Holy Scriptures, a hope wrought by the Spirit in his heart, that he had a good hope and heaven hope toward God. How is it with our hope, congregation? We all have a hope. Otherwise, we could not live, we would say. But do we now only have a hope concerning temporal things? Or do we also have hope toward God? That's a hope for body and for soul. What has Paul experienced? That many of his hopes, they had to be cut off. Oh, Saul, as a Pharisee, he thought surely that he was going to heaven. If anyone would go to heaven, read Philippians 3, tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the 8th day, a Pharisee blameless. Ah, then Saul surely thought the Lord was happy with him. And he was never uncovered to his lost condition. But now when those 3 days on the street straight, then all his other hopes, they were taken away. And then he received a living hope. A hope toward God through Jesus Christ. And now concerning that hope, it is clear, not only for the time and of hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Paul was accused of heresy. And now Paul has turned the tables around. He said, rulers. And among the council, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And now the Sadducees, they only believed the first 5 books of Moses. So they could not say that they believed all the law and the prophets. They did not believe in spirits and angels. And they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. But now Paul, before the governor Felix, Jewish leaders, soldiers, there Paul has stood alone and not alone, because God was with him. Oh, if we think of Martin Luther on April 18, 1521, at the Diet of Worms, where he has stood before the great ones of the earth, and where he was asked to retract, then he has declared, unless he was convinced out of God's word that he has erred, then he may, and he could not retract. And the reformers, a hope concerning that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Do we believe it, young and old? What a solemn day that shall be, when all the graves shall be opened, when also the reformers, our forefathers that have sacrificed so much, that have shed their blood, the just, God's people, who with their souls may perfectly praise the Lord, be before the throne, as the Apostle John has seen on the island Patmos, but also the unjust, where's our journey to? The Lord has remembered this church. A wonderful reformation. But shall it be well, then we need to experience those precious reformation truths in our heart. Thirdly, concerning his lofty aim, then we read in verse 16, and thus that is connected with the former verse. When we think of the fifth petition, that also begins with end. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Thus not after the fourth petition, a period that our prayer comes to an end, but the need, and the Lord has a people with that need. And the Lord works that need to fulfill that need. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, what an exercise is that Martin Luther had for his restless soul to find peace with God. But then we have verse 16. Also the sixth petition, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thus justification and sanctification. It's what our reformers have also stressed and also laid out. Good works, they do not merit, but they are the fruits of grace. And the reformers have also been falsely accused concerning the place of good works. To that end, there have been different ones that have laid it out clearly in writing that when the Lord works by his grace, by the fruits ye shall know them. And now Paul, when he is stood in that courtroom, then he could testify, and herein do I exercise myself. Thus that word exercise is used, means to strive. And exercise is hard work. As Paul did not say it came by itself. Has Christ not said in Mark 13, verse 33, to his disciples, watch and pray, and herein do I exercise myself to have always, all times, all places, all circumstances, we read in Romans 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth unto himself. Thus before our fellow man, to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And now our conscience, that needs to be enlightened and informed in regard to duty. It is true. All mankind, on account of creation, is born with that innate knowledge that there is a higher supreme being called God, and also certain impressions between good and evil. Nevertheless, and what a calling those in authority have to instruct our dear youth that their conscience may be formed to make it simple for our boys and girls. When a missionary goes to a heathen land, that if not the Bible, then they still have a general, a certain sense of right and wrong, although far gone many times. Stealing is not so bad, it's only when you get caught. But concerning that people, concerning the Lord's Day, they have no Bible. And when they keep the Lord's Day as other days, and they have not been instructed, then their conscience shall not speak that they are doing wrong. And now not only an informed conscience, but also a conscience that may walk accordingly. Have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. In the time of the Reformation, then the godly walk of the reformers, godly families, that has won many over for the cause of the truth. That oftentimes with reformers, that the enemies, they said, we do not agree with what they bring, but they have a life that we can learn much from. Thus, Paul, a life, strive, a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, that is for God's glory, that is for the edification of our neighbor, and that is for the comfort and the joy of the living church. Let us first sing Psalter 372, the stanzas 1 and 2. Come all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless, and what follows. 372, 1 and 2. Secondly, the confession of Guido de Bray was the man that has formulated, 'tis believed, with some helpers, our confession of faith, the 37 articles, also called the Belgic Confession, as we find it in the back of the Psalter. He was born in 1522 in Mons, a town close to the border of France. And it is written, because we have a few letters of Guido yet, before he was brought to the scaffold, that his mother, when she was expecting Guido, of course she did not know whether it was a boy or girl. But then there was a traveling Jesuit monk, a very gifted preacher, and then mother has later told her son, when she said under that preaching, as she has sent up a prayer to the Lord, that if she may receive such a son, that he would become such a preacher. Oh, in that letter Guido has written to his dear mother, he says, Mother, you have prayed for a son that may become a priest, and the Lord has given much more. The Lord has given that your son may become a servant of the Most High God. Oh, in that time it is true, persecution many times localized, but many were brought to the stake. Then boys and girls, then we know that William Tyndale was burned on the stake in 1536. Thus Guido de Bray was 14 years old. But now Guido de Bray was apprenticing to become a glass painter. Then they etched and painted scenes on windows, also for church windows. And they were scenes out of the Bible. And to that end, then Guido needed to know what was in the Bible. So it seems that there were exceptions. It is not clear when he was converted. It's clear that he was converted when he was young. He became a preacher, and on account of persecution, then in 1548 he fled to England because there was the God-fearing King Edward VI. He only reigned from his 10th to his 16th year. But when you read what he has written, the tender fear of the Lord, but the Lord has taken him away. And then Bloody Mary came on the throne, and to that end, in 1552, then Guido de Bray has returned to his homeland, and there he has become a traveling preacher. He had no rest, because they were continually hunted and persecuted. And then in 1556, then Philip II became King of Spain, has made an agreement with France that the Reformation must be wiped out. And then Philip II has also left an army of 3,000 soldiers under his half-sister Margaret of Parma, with the command that the heretics must be persecuted. And to that end, he has fled to France, and there for 3 years he has received a little rest, also studied a little further, but his homeland has drawn him back. And in those days, the Netherlands and Belgium was one country. And then he has come to Doornik. That's another name of a city of Tournai. And there he has preached. The church was called the Church of the Palm. And there he received a helpmeet, Catherine Raymond. And they have spoken to one another that it would not be an easy life, a life of persecution, and perhaps not such a long marriage. Then it cannot be different also for our young people when they are courting. And we see everything that is transpiring in the world, that we have much to fear, but they were given to trust in the Lord. And now there were different ministers that have thought, if Philip II now really knew what the reformers stood for, what they taught, and there was another point, there were among the Anabaptists, an offshoot of the Reformation, that did not acknowledge the authority of the government. And then, of course, many times, then the reformers, they were placed under one umbrella. Still takes place, right? When there are people in the church that do not give a good example for the community, their daily walk, business life, wherever it may be, then the church is placed under one umbrella. Therefore, the necessity is a pall, a clear conscience that we give no offense toward God and toward men. And to that end, Guido de Bray has formulated a confession of faith, and then they have put it in a package together with a letter asking King Philip whether the persecution could cease. And then they have sealed it with wax, so when it would rain, it would not be destroyed. And on November 1, 1561, was cast over the castle wall of Doornik. And it has come into the hands of King Philip. And King Philip has given the command that at all cost, the author must be traced down, that he may be executed. Guido de Bray, with his wife, was given to escape, but shortly after, a fire broke out in the city, and they found near the dwelling of Guido de Bray the confession of faith and other writings, so it became clear who was the author. Then in 1561 through 65, then he has went to France, served different congregations, was in prison once, but the Huguenots have delivered him. But his home country was bound on his heart. Meanwhile, they were blessed with 5 children, 4 boys and a girl. And they have returned to their homeland. And then there was a town by the name of Alcinous with many Protestants. And he was asked to help in the ministry. And he has went to that town. And in the time of the Reformation has also happened that there were different thoughts how to proceed. That's a strange to us when we think a few years ago. And then among the Protestants, there were some, especially Reverend Grange, also in that city, that they felt it was time they had a divine right, that they should no longer be underground, but that they must go in the open and to that end, large gatherings where there was preaching. But then Philip has heard of it, he has sent reinforcements, and they have besieged that city. Different ones, a small army of 3,000, has tried to deliver that city, but they had not the weapons. Prince of Orange, on account of the circumstances, the impossibility, has abandoned the plans to help. And finally, the city was besieged with strict orders to arrest the two ministers, Guido de Bray and Reverend Grange. They were given to escape. Not so clear. Perhaps led down over the wall as a pole in a basket. And three other leaders, five of them. And so they have traveled, but they were arrested. And then it is written at the beginning that Guido de Bray had bitter accusations against himself. Why had he been so foolish to travel in a company of five? But then soon after, he was given to realize that the Lord is everything in his hands. In his providence, and he was given to bow there under. And then the day came, 6 o'clock in the morning, that the executioners was on May 31st, 1567, that he was brought to the scaffold. Before he was executed, let us add, we have told you about letters, prison. He has written three letters. One to his dear mother, another to his dear wife, five children. They were married for 8 years, nearly, young children. But then he was given to write that when they were married, that he knew that the time could be short. He was given to encourage his dear wife and children to trust in the Lord, and also a letter to his congregation before he was executed. His family has left. He was not permitted to pray at the bottom of the scaffold, and so he has entered eternity. Then we see congregation that our confession has been paid for by the price of blood. What are we sacrificing for the truth? because a religion without sacrifices, that is not the religion of the Bible. And now concerning Reformation, then it is profitable that we know the wonderful works of the Lord, appreciate it, accompanied by prayer, that the Lord will grant such reformation in our days, and there needs to be a reformation personally, family, and church. Because when there is no reformation, it does not stay the same. Because of our deep fallen Adam and our depraved nature and the world and the devil, then there shall be a steady declension. Thus that means that there needs to be a continual reformation. Then we have something to think about, to examine our lives in all aspects. Where do I need reformation? And then we could mention all many things. Let us just mention one. Let us mention the Lord's Day. In former days, then on Saturday night, newspapers were put away and our phones were only used for emergency. And we realize that there are people amongst us that are on duty, on call, that need to be alerted. There are exceptions. But then it is so needful concerning all the new technology, also considering a waste of time, but that on Saturday night that we put it aside and that we keep the Lord's Day holy. Because there are even reports that amongst us, that even on the Lord's Day, that on the parking lot after church, that people are busy with their phones. And of course, if fathers and mothers do it, then what can they say to their teenage children? Thus, in that respect, let there also be reformation, that we may be given to keep the Lord's Day holy. What a wonderful work that the Lord has wrought many years ago. And there have been many more reformations, all in the time of a revival. What reformations there have been. Jonathan Edwards, in the town of Northampton, when the Spirit began to work, there was a tavern where there was drinking, and it was soon closed because no customers. And to that end, may we be given to ask the Lord for his wonderful works in the hearts of young and old, and also, as with the Paul, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. What a fitting prayer of Psalm 80, verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Amen. Let us close. Lord, it is pleased thee oftentimes in dark times to grant a revival and a reformation. And when thou workest in the heart by thy Spirit, then there shall be a reformation. Ah, Lord, do remember us and our children. May we be given to return to our hearts, to our houses, and examine our hearts and our lives, and to question ourselves where we need to reform. Lord, remember for the coming Sabbath day. Help thy servant, help the brother elder. We commend unto thee the custodians, those that lead the congregational singing, and those that have an active part in any way. We commend unto thee all the afflicted, all the sick, all the mourning ones. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 128, the stanzas 1 and 2. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. And what follows, 128, 1 and 2.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.